Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
But I wanted to, we've been talking about, you know, the effects of positive attitude and all those kinds of things. And I'm not a motivational speaker per se. I think hopefully some of the things I share with you will motivate you to action and so forth. The way to invest and develop your good attitude is to go through bad things and come out on the other side in a positive way. It's your choice, actually. You can go through whatever life throws at you, and you can come out by your choice, either having a good attitude about it or a sour attitude about it. And generally, if you have Christ with you and He's helping you and His Holy Spirit is alive and well inside you, you're generally going to come out with a pretty positive attitude. Because one of the things that God likes to do is take your problems and your negative things happening in your life and turn them into an absolute positive. God does nothing but positive things. He heals, he encourages, he blesses, he gives you wisdom and guidance and direction and restores you when you've failed or fallen short or whatever. And one of the main things that you need to recognize as Christians, and I think all Christians need to be shaken with this now and then, and I've already alluded to this in an earlier sermon, but I want to kind of take it and expand it a little bit. But we so often have forgotten the fact that Jesus Christ does not condemn us. Most of our condemnation comes from others or ourselves. We tend to condemn ourselves even more harshly than even other people. One of the good things about being a people, when you're a person or a people, you all have identification with failures and problems and negative things that happen and bad decisions and sin and all the things that the Bible talks about as being horrific to us. And by the way, the Bible mentions sin and all of that not to bring condemnation, but to bring restoration and forgiveness and compassion and the love of God into your heart and your life. And if you've not seen the value of that, the next time you get into trouble, the next time you have problems, think about that. Just think, oh, yeah, that dumb pastor, he wasn't quite so stupid after all. I really need somebody to help me. And the first thing that you need when you need help is for you to be changed at some changing point in your life. And I don't care if you've been a Christian 90 years. It doesn't make any difference. Life is life, and it throws junk at you. And sometimes you enhance it with a few bad decisions or whatever. But for the most part, God's people should be thinking, and I think probably are, thinking on the basis of, I know my God loves me, and I know whom I've committed my life to, and He is faithful and just to forgive me if I fail Him, and to work in my life to bring not condemnation, but awareness of my error and a solution to my problem. Most of our errors create problems. Am I correct? And God realizes that. He realized way back in the garden all about that. In fact, He knew it long before He created us. And the great thing about God is that you can have that kind of a relationship, a knowability. You can be known by God and you can know your God. And He has the power and the ability to make your errors into something very, very, very good in your life. There are plenty of examples I could give that I don't need to get in all the details about that. But you know in your own personal life, it may not be a big public story, but you know what's gone on in your own personal life, and you know what God means to you and how He has rescued you. And I'm convinced that God rescues us all the time. I know a lot of us who have been Christians a long time, we've kind of, some of our Christian living is just habitual. We've done this for so long. We've lived this way so long. We're comfortable with the way we live so long. Just like if I were not a Christian, I'd be comfortable with the way I live. It's just human nature. That's how you do. You live a certain way, and you get comfortable with that. And it takes something pretty major to jar you sometimes into the awareness that there's some change needed here. And so I want to talk about honoring God, and I want to talk about giving praise to Him, because God responds to our honoring of Him and our glorifying of God and our praising of God, because it is a display of an attitude that's down here. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to shoot off. Amen? But from the abundance of your life, honor can also be offered to God. And God responds to honoring him. When you praise him, he responds. In fact, let me take a side note here and share this with you, because I think this is a practical and a very important part. Some of you come here because it's a nice place, it's kind of warm, and you can relax and have a nice nap before you go back and watch the Super Bowl this afternoon. But seriously, when you come to the house of God, you need to remember something. You've come to be a participant in worshiping and honoring God. You've come to be a participant. You've come here because God has done something great in your life, or if he hasn't yet, he's drawing you to that place of great experience. And when you gather here together, it's not just, hey, we went to church today. It's not just, hey, we went and sang some cool songs today, or we heard a great presentation from Life Options. All of these things are positive and good things, I believe. And there are opportunities to invest spiritually and other ways in all of this kind of ministry. But when you come to the house of God, God's asking you to participate. In fact, you can read I've read through Chronicles just recently, and there's just example after example of kings that were placed in great places of responsibility, and it described them. And he followed the Lord, his God, as his forefathers did. Or it gives you a statement like this: he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then they list all the things that God allowed to happen in their lives because they weren't serving him. You see, God benefits those who serve him and are faithful to him and honor him. He blesses their lives in so many ways. Yes, you're going to go through troubles because life is filled with troubles, because this is a fallen world. But we're no longer part of this world when we're born again into the kingdom of God. I know that's hard to sometimes connect, but I'm going to show you how you can connect. When you come to the house of God, knowing that you love God because of what he's done in your life and what he's done for you prior to you coming to know him. When you come to the house of God, you're not just somebody who comes and sits on a seat. I mean, I'm not judging or trying to figure out what your intentions are this morning. But in general, most people come to the house of God to hear about the Bible, hear something encouraging from the Word of God, hear some great music and all the other things that you come to the house of God for. But God is expecting you, as part of your participation in church, to be a part of the ministry. When you come to the house of God, you are ministering one to another. Now, I'm up here every Sunday morning, and many of you are brave enough to walk up here, and it's been this way since I've been the pastor of this church. We've had prayer during worship. It's just something God has developed. I think it's a good thing. What better time to worship the Lord and then offer a prayer, a need, a burden in prayer? I think it's the perfect time during worship to pray for the needs of the people. Don't you think that? I think that's a very cool thing God has done here. We've survived on it. We've been blessed by it, and God has answered prayer. While we were praying, got testimonies of what God has done and healing touches as we pray. All these things are happening, but we're not just, you know, each time jumping up and broadcasting it to you. But I want you to know something. Those that we prayed for that have been blessed, and we pray every Sunday for people, and those people that we pray for, and God has answered that prayer, I want you to understand, you think you're just coming here to listen to some guy blabber. Let me tell you what's going on. God is using your faith, combined with everybody else's faith in this room, to join with us when we're praying for individuals, and God responds to that. Why? Because you're honoring God and you're honoring each other. And you're honoring Jesus Christ because we came in his name. We are a Christian church. We follow Jesus Christ. We hang on every one of his words because he's never failed us with what his promises are. And I haven't even got to the scripture, folks, but I want you to understand something. This is not just a spectator sport here. I think sometimes we, you know, come just and we've done our duty and come to the house of God. There is no duty to come to the house of God. It is an honor to come to the house of the Lord and to give praise to God who visits us every Sunday morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to make a few connections, and I'm going to have to move on quickly because I have, you know me, gosh. I just have way too much to share, and I don't have enough time, but you don't care. Hey, the Super Bowl's not till 3:30. Okay. We got that. And by the way, there's no service tonight. And you want to know why? Because I'm watching the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to let you guys be home watching the Super Bowl and I have to come down here and have church with three people. Okay? You want the truth. That's the gospel right there. Yeah, give God, praise the Lord. But let me focus on a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to start with the Romans, the 8th chapter, first two verses there. You're probably very familiar with this. It's a very wonderful chapter. It's a chapter that builds your faith. It's a chapter that makes you to understand why you even have faith and what's the interaction in that relationship with God, because God is knowable, and the more you want to know Him, the more He will show Himself to you. And that is just an awesome fact of life. But there's a very uplifting verse that teaches us and teaches us how to honor God. And I think we honor God by making the right decision at a changing point in our life. And I want to show that to you in the scripture. I want you, maybe if you mark your Bible, I want you to just kind of make a check here or some kind of a dot or something with your favorite colored pen and put it here, because these are powerful verses. These are changing point verses. These are things that teach us about honoring God, because our relationship with Him actually exudes that. If you love God, you are exuding honor, and it is just flowing out of you. And it doesn't matter if you yell and scream louder than the guy next to you. That's not an evidence that you are honoring God. But if you love God, you are honoring Him. It's just part of who you are, and I'll show you why right here in the scripture. And I want to parse these two verses for you a little bit. Well, let me read them for you first. There is therefore now no condemnation. You remember this verse? Now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You recognize that verse, right? Listen to the second verse, because it supports that first verse in a very wonderful way. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Yeah. Now, condemnation comes with the law of sin and death. And there was a time when that was really the main focus on a lot of our relationship to God. And we weren't obviously not there. But in the Old Testament times, that was a natural attitude that developed in the observance of the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion emphasized the laws of God. You can do this and you can't do that. And mostly you can't do that rather than you can do. Most of it was an emphasis on the things that were sinful in the sight of God, or an error in the sight, or a bad decision in the sight of God. And if you just use the Big Ten as the model or the scale for this, you begin to understand that it don't take long. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do. If you happen to do one of those things, then there's instant condemnation. Jesus takes it further in the New Testament. If you think about these things, you might as well do them, because it's in your heart to do them. And that's why I've had to repent repeatedly as I drive through Buena. I just have to, in fact, I start, I'm heading out from my house, I'm going down the old highway. When I get past Shane Road, I start repenting right there. I try to repent in advance of the feelings I'm going to have when somebody's going to pull out in front of me doing 20 miles an hour. You know what I'm saying? And so I start that repenting process, but because it's in my heart, and I want to have a pure heart, so I start that process. And that's not every day, but on occasion when I just know something's ahead, I start repenting and ask God to forgive me for the attitude I'm about to unleash on the driver that cuts me off or something like that. And I know you all know that feeling, because every one of you have gone through, maybe not in Buena, but you've gone through that. And you wanted to say something, but something held you and compelled you. Don't say that, because that will then be in your heart. So don't conceive that. Otherwise, you might as well say it. And then repent again, for even though you you see the process your stinking mind goes through when you're dealing with condemnation, when you're dealing with potential sin or something of that nature. And so it's very important that you understand the position you are placed in this relationship you have with God. And I emphasize relationship, even though we're one of the largest religions in the world. It's not a religion. In practice, we have a relationship with God. We view Him as our Heavenly Father. Even Jesus encourages us in the Lord's Prayer, our Heavenly Father, Or our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's honoring of God. If you just read the Lord's Prayer, that's an honoring prayer. In fact, all of our prayer is honoring to God because you've acknowledged him. You don't pray to just the air. You pray to your concept of God. And if Jesus has given to us the concept that this is our Heavenly Father, I am his son and this is the Heavenly Father, then we acknowledge him. If we pray to God, we're acknowledging. In fact, if you pray to Jesus or you pray to the Holy Spirit, all three are one, so you're hitting it. But in context, we pray to the Heavenly Father because he's the authority figure in heaven. And then the Son. And in fact, that becomes so strong and so powerful that in the next verses I'm going to read for you in the book of John, 5th chapter, you're going to discover just the position God has placed you in by simply you believing and honoring Jesus Christ, his Son, which, by the way, is the only avenue to heaven, the only avenue to blessing, the only avenue to healing, the only avenue to the benefits and the blessings that God likes to do. You know what the Bible says? You're going to hear it in a minute. You know what it says about God blessing his people? When you come into the house of God and you worship and, oh, you didn't have some big miracle, you weren't, you know, you weren't have cancer and that healed or some horrendous infirmity that you're fighting. Not those kinds of things. But you come to the house of the Lord and God just blesses you. You feel good that you've been in the house of the Lord and the presence of the Lord and he's done that wonderful thing. You have just stepped into that relationship in a whole new way because you reap the benefit of your relationship with him. You can talk to him just like you can talk to a person. You can be angry with God. You can be loving God. You can have all those emotions that happen to you based on circumstances or whatever is thrown your way in life. But let me show you something. No Christian should ever walk under condemnation. Never. Never. Even when you sin, Jesus Christ does not condemn you. He may convict you and through the Holy Spirit let you know you have sinned and you feel pretty bad that you have sinned, but his efforts and his work of the Holy Spirit at that point is to draw you back into repentance, like I have to do every day in Buena, draw you back to repentance so that he can restore you and bring mercy and forgiveness into your life. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you, that's pretty good stuff. But let me parse this verse a little bit because I want to talk to you about these changing points. There are points in this scripture that as you follow reading them and you're understanding that there are points in the scripture that is a changing point. This is a point where there's change being talked about. And how many of you would agree there's a time or two that you really need to be changed? You really need to have a PowerPoint moment with God, a changing point moment where God makes you know that he's real, makes you know that he loves you, makes you know that he's displeased with what you've done. Never displeased with you, displeased with your choice and the action that you may have done or the thoughts you may have had. But he works to endeavor to bring you to the place where you have mastered your walk in Christ. Am I making sense? And so that is what our will does for us. We choose to do right. And if we choose to do wrong, we still have a solution. We're not condemned. We're not discarded or disregarded. We have an avenue through Christ to be restored with the Father. And did you know that when you sin and you repent and ask God to forgive you, that you are actually in an action of honoring God? Why? Because you acknowledge him again and you place him in the proper place that he is the God of heaven. And it is only he that can give me mercy. It is only he that can love me despite my sin and through my sin and forgive me. He's the only one who can forgive me. And once he has forgiven me, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let me parse this a little bit, just kind of highlight this a little bit, because I want you to notice these changing points. And when you read Scripture, more in the New Testament than in the Old Testament, but just as true in the Old Testament. When you read Scripture, you should be looking for these changing points. Now, the first part of this verse is it's talking change all over the place. Listen to this. There is therefore now. There is therefore. Therefore what? There is therefore based on the first seven chapters. The first seven chapters are showing you what it means legally and spiritually to become a Christian. to ask Christ into your life, to forgive you of your sins, be your Lord and Savior, the basics of every Christian tenet and message. On that basis, you have the right and the privilege and the ability to come before God and therefore not be condemned. You follow me? So prior to that, what Christ has already done in your life, provided for your life, on the cross, into your life, has brought you to this point. When all of this has happened in your life, now, therefore, based on what Christ has done, now, from this moment, this second, from this moment, now, there is no condemnation. There's a changing point right there now, because you have to make major change before you get the therefore part. Paul, am I making sense? And the no condemnation part. God offers complete freedom from condemnation, which, let's be honest, most of the time is self-inflicted. Yeah, we blew it. Yeah, and you'll go around just beating yourself to a pulp. Emotionally, spiritually, you'll walk as if you're a failure. You'll just be feeling denigrated, and you'll be feeling far from God and no longer saved and no longer a Christian. And if you continue in that, guess what? You will. That's exactly what will happen to you, because you'll forsake Jesus Christ and go your own way. But if you're a smart, wise Christian that has learned from the love of God that has been poured into your heart, you know where to go. You know to where to go when you've done something wrong. You know where to go when you've fallen and skinned your knee. Amen? You run right to the Father, because He will forgive you and He will show you mercy. Oh, He'll remind you, listen, and He'll scold you. Jesus Christ teaches us that the Father's going to scold us, and Paul teaches us that the Father is not going to condemn us, but He's certainly going to discipline us. Why do I know that? Because He disciplines the ones He loves. Do you know love is far more than that wonderful feeling you get when you see your wife and she's just awesome and you're about to buy her chocolates and stuff in a few days and flowers, and we want our flower store here to just get all kinds of money because she's selling flowers to help you express your gushy feelings for your wife or your husband. Isn't that cool? You see, we cover all the bases in this church. We got a flower lady right here, and she does our lattes out there as well. And so we try to cover these things so that you can be looking good in the eyes of your wife when you finally do something nice, because you're going to forget anyway. So she'll remember and have them sent over there for you, and you'll look like a king, man. You know what I'm talking about? So the condemnation you would have gotten for weeks after forgetting this or your anniversary is all taken care of. Amen? Because you ask the Lord to forgive you for forgetting or whatever. Anyway, so there's just a wonderful thing. There's a changing point, and there's several. And I got to hurry because I'm already way beyond time. But listen to this. So the changing point is now. There's now no condemnation to them which are, changing point, in Christ. In Christ. What does that mean? I'm walking with Him. I'm faithful to Him. I do the things I'm supposed to do as a Christian. I try to help others find Christ. All those things that you do that He's pleased with and He's honored with, because you're doing it because you are a Christian. And changing point here. Who walk not after the flesh. We all know about the flesh, don't we? It's the flesh that leads us to eat the apple in the garden. And it's the flesh to eat whatever apples you want to imagine today. Whatever thing that causes us to disobey God. It's all those things. But if we continue walking in the flesh, we'll walk away, completely away from God. But the awesome thing is, there's no condemnation in us because we don't walk after the flesh. We war against the flesh. Paul calls it a war. He calls it a battle. He calls the dealing with the old man, that's how he refers to the flesh. When you deal with that, you cannot fight this battle by yourself. Am I right? You have the greatest tendency towards sin, not away from sin. You have the tendency away from sin when you know Jesus and you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Your relationship with your wife will be better. Your relationship on the job will be better. Your relationship with other people, even if you're driving through Buena, will be better. All these things will be better because you're not in the flesh, but you're walking after the Spirit of God. Now, I want to just make a side note here. We talk a lot about the Holy Spirit around here, and the reason we do It's because you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit just like you have a relationship with Christ, just like you have a relationship with the Father. It's the same thing. It's a relationship with God. But we talk about the Spirit, and I don't want to get hung up on this because we all have differing views on some things, and I know I'm right, and I don't want to make you feel bad for being wrong. So there's a reason why he mentions the Spirit. We walk after the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that is currently God in this world. Jesus is at the throne of the Father. Amen? And you can pray right to him. It's not a problem. He hears you just like the Father hears you. He answers prayer like that. But how does he answer your prayer? Through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, it's expedient for me to go to heaven, for if I don't go away, I'll be here, but the Holy Spirit won't be dispersed amongst you. Amen? So it'd be localized and focused. But if I go to the Father, he will send you the promise. What was the promise? The promise was the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit would now do the works of God. Now, what are the works of God? It's very important. I'm not going to get to the other scripture, folks. But it's in the fifth chapter. And Jesus is explaining this verse before Paul ever wrote it. But let me explain. See, when the Holy Spirit is the agent of all grace and all the works of God, in that fifth chapter of John that I was going to read to you, one of the things that Jesus says is that that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, he is going to be the one that does the works of God, and they are going to be marvelous. And he compares it to the relationship he has with the Father. Did you know Jesus has a relationship with the Father? And the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And he says in that fifth chapter that all these wonderful works he did, he saw God do them, saw the Father do them. And because the Father did them and showed me how he does these, I do these things. And then, therefore, because if you read on farther in the book, you'll find out that because he loves us and we love him, we will do those works. How? When the promise comes. So in the name of Jesus is why we pray and what we pray, but it's in the name of Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit honoring the name of Jesus to complete the works that are done today. If you've been healed, if you've been saved, if you have been delivered, it's the Holy Spirit doing those works. And one of the things that Jesus says that God does this for is to cause you to marvel at how great your God is. Amen? That's what Jesus said. He said, I do these works so that you might marvel. You might marvel that God does these things among men. And it's undeniable that God does this. And then you can do all of your experiments and you can do all your research and all your studies, but you're never going to talk somebody that's been born again out of being born again. And you're not going to talk somebody that's been healed out of their healing. They know that God has touched them. They know that they've been healed or whatever wondrous miracle, put their marriage back together, put your business back together, whatever it is that God has done in you, those are all legitimate miracles that God does. And we don't need the Pope to declare them or all the cardinals to agree that this is a miracle and a sign of miracles. These things happen all the time amongst God's people, and we want to acknowledge that. We want to acknowledge that because that honors God. Every changing point in our life honors God because we first acknowledge him for who he is. He's God. And we love him because of what we've done. And the only thing that God the Father insists on, do you know what it is? Is that we love his Son. We honor his Son. You want to know how to honor God? Honor Jesus Christ. I really like that old slogan thing. It's kind of died away like all fads kind of do. But you remember that the bracelets and stuff like that, it had WWJD, what would Jesus do? I can't think of a better way to formulate your conscience that what would Jesus do in this decision? At this changing point, what would Jesus do? And you're honoring him. You're acknowledging him. Before you buy that Ford pickup or whatever pickup you're going to buy, and you honor God, God is going to bless you, but you're going to be honoring the Father and acknowledging him and asking him to be involved and talk you into out of that Ford and into a Dodge. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. but my point is, when you honor Jesus Christ, you are giving great honor to the Father. And that's what God the Father loves. He loves us to honor his Son. And it's the least we can do after all he has done. Amen? And so when we parse these verses a little bit, it just becomes richer and richer and richer. And one of the things you need to do is be sensitive to the one that works on this earth now to bring honor to Jesus Christ. You know, the one that works now doesn't bring honor to himself. In fact, if you start praising the Holy Spirit, He deflects that. He deflects that. Where does He deflect it? He deflects your praise of Him and thanks God. And I thank God. It's not wrong to praise the Holy Spirit. You're praising God when you do that. But the Holy Spirit is not seeking recognition. That was a promise. His relationship with you was a promise of the Father that we would be filled and saturated and baptized in His Spirit. But His work is to honor Jesus Christ's work. Huh? Isn't that cool? That's why when you see a miracle of God, you recognize that. We have to see people, you know, we prayed for people's kids that are out there doing wild things, and we're praying for them, and the next thing you know, they're in the house of God, and they're worshiping God, and something, some changing point happened in their life, and they realize, the way I'm living is not going to make it. I need some help. Isn't that an awesome thing? And guess what? Even though you've cursed God, even though you've rejected God, even though you've been angry and mad at God because things aren't going your way, God don't get mad at you. God loves you. And while you were yet a sinner, all of us, He loved you. Oh, and Jesus loved you so much that He died for you. The least we can do, the minimal thing we can do, is honor Jesus Christ for the great work the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have done in our hearts. Amen? And in your life. Let me tell you what. You have dodged bullet after bullet after bullet because the enemy has fired darts or bullets or whatever at you, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, whatever, has deflected them, and you've awakened and become aware of that at a later point. Man, did I miss a bullet there? Man, I really missed it there. Now, there's a few times that I've walked in and got shot right between the eyes, you know, and needed God to resurrect my body and resurrect me. But most of the time, when it's not me in error, making a changing point, wrong decision, God's Holy Spirit has blessed me through that decision and helped me and fulfilled and brought honor to Jesus Christ. Do you not realize how great pleasure God gets out of blessing you? God loves blessing you. Do you not realize that He's like your father? The father gets great excitement when your son's fourth in district and going to regionals. Huh? Dad's a little proud. I mean, he's almost asleep, but anyway. He's proud of his son. Amen? Proud. And as every father would be proud at the achievements of their children. But our Heavenly Father is so proud of His Son, everything in life hinges on what you feel about Jesus Christ. Am I making sense now? And, I mean, what do we owe Him? How much do God delights in blessing you. Don't get me wrong. How many of you, I mean, there's good, bad, and ugly in your life. But how many of you would acknowledge, and I think you need to have a show of hands because God just needs to see you express it. How many of you would say, God, you know, as I look over my life, good, bad, ugly, God has really blessed me. Amen. Yeah, amen. Am I right? It's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. It brings tears to your eyes, and it causes you to just from the deepest part of your spirit begin to honor Him and thank Him. And He's due that, and it may be something He applauds and likes, but I don't do it because He requires it. I do it in response to His great love, His great blessings, the Word that guides me, as Ryan just said, the Word. All those things, they're a blessing to me, and I want to honor Him because I love Him, not out of obligation or requirement. You see, obligation and requirement you can do but may not get anything out of it. Am I right? I mean, you come to the house of God, okay, that's my requirement, and whatever, but I don't have to listen to the preacher, so after music's over, I'm going home. Huh? You think I don't know? I mean, look at me. With a nose this big, you know all things. But my point is, it's not out of obligation. If I had to come to church because of obligation, what good is it going to do me to come to the house of God? I come here because I love Him. And I've committed my life to Him because I love Him. And I do all the things that I do for Him because I love Him. That's my motivation. In fact, I don't remember a time. There may have been a time that I just don't recall, and that's because of age. In this church, our focus has always been, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And nor do I have the right to condemn anyone. Because Jesus Christ, if you read John 5, the Father has given him the power of judgment. And that makes me feel pretty good. Because if I'm going to be judged on my errors at the point of change and whatever in my life, if I'm going to make errors there, I want a merciful, loving Jesus Christ to be my judge. Amen? I mean, you don't want me as your judge, because I'd be thinking, Buena, I'm going to crush that car. that'd be me. But Jesus is not that way. Jesus loves us. And his desire is to honor his Father by emulating him. When you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. He said that, 14th chapter of John. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And how long have I been with you? You haven't recognized that I'm God's Son. And that's the pivotal moment. That's the changing point. Jesus is the Son of God. And it is he that rescues me, shows me mercy, empowers me, blesses me, looks out for me, guides my life, directs me. And if I listen to him and if I follow hard after him, I'm going to discover by honoring Jesus Christ and obeying his word and whatever, the Father is going to be honored and he's going to bless us.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to this year being one of the most exciting years, as I said last week and the week before. I think 2017 is going to be a great year for Christianity. It's going to be a great year for this church. I believe God has determined, hey, if God determined something, folks, don't try to stop it, okay? But I think the Holy Spirit has determined great things in the faithful ministries. When God's people have been faithful, God is going to bless. And he's going to do it in a way that's going to blow your mind. And you need your mind blown. You have limited God way too much, and you've condemned yourself way too much. You've not walked in the liberty and the freedom that he has already defined for you. You are free from the condemnation and certainly the law of sin and death. Am I making any sense? Now see, Mama, you shouldn't have done that. You should have let that kid just run wild. Because it might have inspired somebody else to do the same thing. I embarrassed her. I'm sorry for that. But I like it when the little kids run, don't you? I like the runts with fat cheeks. I just love them. Okay, let me hit the last part of the verse in conclusion, because I'm a little over time. I should have known I'd never make it to the other scripture. For the law of the Spirit. Now listen to me. This is important, because this is what the Holy Spirit is right now doing. This morning, this very second, is doing these things. For the law of the Spirit of life. Hello? Do you want to live? Do you want to live abundantly? Do you want to have the blessings of God in your life? Listen to this. For the law, that's what drives the Spirit. That's the parameters the Spirit moves within. These are the rules of the Holy Spirit of life. When you're in Christ Jesus, he's made you free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer condemned. We're no longer under the law of sin and death. Even if we should sin, we have an avenue through Jesus Christ to gain forgiveness and be restored in the sight of our Father. I think that's great liberty. That's great freedom. It doesn't give me the right to sin, and he does not condone our error, but he will discipline and restore us if we turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, when we find ourselves in error. Am I making any kind of sense at all? I'm thinking we are the best people on the planet. We are. We're blessed. We live a blessed life. Every one of you just about raised your hand, except those of you that are mad at God. Just about everybody raise their hand that he has blessed you at some point. He loves doing that. He does not want you to walk in condemnation, because you will not do honor to God and you'll not do honor to Christ. How do we honor our Father? Do everything we do to glorify Jesus Christ. Everything. And I think I could take the time to do this. I think you'll appreciate this. We were in men's meeting Saturday morning. We were talking about all kinds of things, and I think the Spirit was speaking to me when I shared this with the gentleman, and I said, you know, sometimes we as Christians don't think we've done much for the kingdom of God. In fact, I would say most of us, if I you know, interviewed you after church privately, you would say, man, I don't do nothing for Christ. I go to church, I'm pretty faithful there, but, you know, as far as going out and standing on the street corner preaching a gospel message or something like that, every once in a while I'll run into somebody and they'll be hurting or something like that, and I'll encourage them to come to church and get the pastor to pray for you. And those things are all good. But here's what I want you to understand. You don't know, so don't act like you do. You don't know what great and good things you have done. You don't know it. And you know, and when you stand before Jesus Christ, because there's going to be a time Jesus Christ is going to judge us. You're actually being judged now, but he's going to judge us. And that always sounds like a harsh term. And it is if you've done wrong. If you've done wrong, it ain't no good to stand before the judge. First of all, he knows you're going to lie when you say you're innocent. And he's going to look at you suspiciously and harshly like all judges do. You ever see them? They always look like they're mean, you know. Intimidate those criminals and send them all to jail. Hang them high, you know, Judge Bean, you know, hang them all. Just, and if you shoot, what was her name? Langley or whatever her name was. They'll hang you for shooting a picture. Anyway, that's Old West stuff. But when you stand before Jesus Christ, it's going to be a blow of mind to you. I'm going to tell you right now, and when you get to heaven, you look me up. Be easy to find. I'll be right over there by Jesus. Look me up, and then you confess to me. You confess to me if I'm not telling you the truth. And you'll say, oh, Brother Connor, you were so right. When I stood before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, he had a list so long I couldn't see the end of the list. Of all thy things I did in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I spoke a kind word to my neighbor when he's lost his wife. Someone lost their child. I went to be with them, brought a pie or some flowers or card, and just sat there and comforted them. Every one of those things is going to be listed on that list. And you've forgotten. You've already forgotten most of what's on that list. But Jesus knows that if just a cup of water you give in his name, then your reward is going to be an awesome blessing from God. It doesn't take a large thing to be doing something for the kingdom of God. And when you get to heaven, trust me, you're going to have a list so long of all the kind and wonderful things you did in the name of Jesus Christ, and you honored him. And you gave him glory. You made him proud because you shared with others the great grace that you have received, and it blessed other people. Trust me, Jesus has a reward for those kind of people. Crown of righteousness, everlasting life, being with Jesus Christ. There's hope there, folks. There's richness right there. Whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name to honor him. And God the Father will reward you and bless your life. That's not all we do it for. We do it because we love. But the benefit is God has promised to bless you and to keep you and to never leave you or forsake you. Can you give him honor today and stand with me? We do this at the end of every service. Sometimes if we're having special service and we have a special prayer emphasis, we'll do things a little differently and maybe have what they call an altar call or whatever. I went to Dave Goss, bad influence. I got a little green card here now, thanks to him. I get into these basketball games watching Zilla play, and just a bad influence. One of the cool things was we went one time, and there's a big giant American flag over in the gymnasium, and they sang the national anthem. Very good voice, that young lady that had the voice. And I looked around and I noticed men were taking their hats off, and everyone was standing at attention while it was sung, and I took my hat off and put it over my heart like you should. By the way, you should do that, by the way. That's etiquette. If you're at a parade with an Old Glory is being honored, you do that. You take your hat off. Or Dana Wise will take it off for you. Anyway. And I watched that whole stadium focus and give honor to the flag. Now, you're not just giving honor to the flag, that banner that is waving there. You're giving honor to what that stands for. Amen? We give honor to the cross. Not that it's a good thing. It's a horrific thing. A horrible way to die. But what does it symbolize? And just as those people honored the flag and everyone stood at attention somewhat as the flag was being honored and our nation was being honored and every soldier, man, woman that had laid their life down for this country is represented right there, we honored the flag and what it stood for. Every Sunday morning when we stand at the conclusion of the word, we stand to give honor to Jesus Christ in remembrance not only what he did but what he has just done this morning for you. We honor him. We came, we praised, we sang, we prayed for people. We heard a wonderful presentation about a great ministry, and then we heard the word of God, and now we stand to conclude the service, yes, but to conclude by honoring Jesus Christ. He is our God. He paid the price that you might have the liberty to walk your life out with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? So as we conclude, I'm not going to pray a prayer of conclusion. I want you to honor Jesus Christ, and when we're through honoring him, we'll be concluded. Is that fair? Honor him with me this morning. Father, I bless you. Jesus Christ, I exalt you. I lift you high. There is no other higher than you. You have done all that we have need to obtain salvation and eternal life and the blessings of the Heavenly Father. So I honor you this morning, Jesus, my elder brother, of which I am an heir and a joint heir with you. I bless you. I glorify you. I magnify you. I applaud you this morning. For you are worthy of all our praise and certainly all of our adoration and dedication. So this morning I honor you and I glorify you in raising my hands of praise. And I do that because you are my Lord and my Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless America. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.